Please turn to Mark chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. Technically, we are preaching through the Gospel of Mark, and you've noticed since the beginning of the year we've been reading in the book of Mark, but we read in the book of Matthew this morning in the parallel passage to this passage of Scripture, Mark 3:22 through 30, because there is some additional information in the Matthew passage that isn't here and crucial to what I want to talk about this morning. So I'll be making some reference here, some reference to Matthew, some again to Philippians chapter 2, where we're emphasizing this year, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we're really focusing on that mind, his servant mind, and we want to have that in ourselves for this year. Today, acknowledging the role of the Holy Spirit, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for allowing us to live in this church age in which the Holy Spirit stays with us all the time and has sealed us until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you will help us to see a little bit more vividly today how important the role of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And I pray for your help in this, in Jesus' name, amen. Anyone who would have seen Jesus while he walked here on this earth would have seen a very normal-looking human being. He took on human nature and functioned in every way as a normal human being. It was necessary for him to do that so that he would be our substitute in suffering for sin. And while he was here on this earth, he did very normal human things. He got hungry and ate. He got thirsty and drank. He got tired and slept. He worked as a carpenter. He went to synagogue on Sabbath day. He talked. He walked. He sat down. He did all the normal things that you and I do on a regular basis. But then, at the same time, Jesus did some very non-human, supernatural things. He performed many miracles, and it was obvious that something other than normal humanity was involved. He made the lame to walk and caused the blind to see. He turned water into wine and calmed the stormy sea. He turned one little boy's lunch into a meal for multiple thousands, and it resulted in the first record of leftovers. He healed all kinds of diseases and cast out devils. And the people who witnessed these things said they never saw anything like it before. Mark chapter 2 and verse 12, we had noted this before. Mark chapter 2 and verse 12, immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. It was unexplainable to those who observed Jesus. How did this happen? A normal human being doing such non-human things. How did Jesus explain this dichotomy in his life? Here in Mark chapter 3, verse 22 through 30, the Jews had observed Jesus casting devils out. And they had an explanation for it in verse 22. The scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Now, in the parallel passage in Matthew, Jesus made one little statement that gives us a profound look at the reason he could function as a normal human being and at the same time do such miraculous things. He contradicts the accusation of the scribes and the Pharisees by that one little statement. We'll get there in a moment. Let me set it up. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit, that would be the Holy Spirit, you see the word Spirit is capitalized, the Holy Spirit, like a dove descending upon him. Over in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, the parallel passage says, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, by reading from the book of Isaiah, Jesus was declaring this to be true of him, where he says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he, the Spirit of the Lord, hath anointed me. One more, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit. When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit joined Jesus. So that when Jesus was walking on the earth during his entire ministry, it was he and the Holy Spirit together. It was the Holy Spirit that anointed the human Jesus. Not that Jesus was not God, but he made a choice. Philippians chapter 2 tells us, he made himself of no reputation, and I'm going to emphasize that over and over this year. That's such a crucial statement. He made himself of no reputation. Jesus came to function entirely as a human being, but in order to do the extraordinary things that he did, the Holy Spirit joined him and was in him and with him all the time that he was here. And it was the Holy Spirit who led him. And then we go to the parallel passage, Matthew chapter 12, that we read earlier, and we'll observe that little statement that Jesus makes that clarifies things for us. Matthew chapter 12, we go to verse 24, where it says, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They're accusing Jesus of being possessed by the devil. And the power of the devil being the means by which Jesus did his miracles. Jesus responds in verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But, verse 28, here's the little statement. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. In that little statement, he explains to us that while he is functioning in very normal human nature, walking on this earth, the power by which he did all of those miracles was from the Holy Spirit who was with him. Now I want to relate that to Christ functioning as a servant here on this earth. Would you go to Philippians chapter 2? And verse 8. Jesus not only took the form of a servant, but functioned as a servant in every way while he was here on this earth. It tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, by way of explanation, that God actually, Christ actually made himself a servant to God the Father. It says in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Remember how Jesus expressed this in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, when he is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the evening before he's going to be crucified. Jesus prays, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, remember what he said? Not what I will, but what thou wilt. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, he became obedient unto death. And he made himself a servant to God the Father as he functioned in his humanity here on this earth so that he could complete the work of redemption. There were many ways while he was here on this earth that he made himself servant unto God the Father. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? He didn't have to learn anything because he already knew everything. Jesus answered and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. Now, didn't Jesus have the ability as the eternal Son of God to speak of himself and from himself? Didn't he have that ability? I mean, consider Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. God said, what did God say in Genesis 1, 3? Anybody remember what it says in 1, 3? God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. You know, there's an interesting thing about that word God in that verse. It's the plural Elohim, which means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in unison said, let there be light. I mean, after all, Jesus is referred to in John chapter 1 as the Word, right? Didn't he have the ability to speak of himself? But he says, no. He humbled himself, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He made himself a servant to God the Father so that he could suffer our suffering and die our dying on the cross. In exactly the same way, Christ made himself a servant to the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. And here is that statement that we will probably hear over and over again this year because it's related to the mind of Christ in his servanthood. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. What did he say in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28? If I cast out devils by the Holy Spirit. Remember what it says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, which means Jesus followed the Spirit. When the Spirit said, it's time to go into the wilderness, Jesus said, I'm following. He made himself of no reputation, making himself the servant of the Holy Spirit. And he was very explicit while he was here on this earth that he did not come to be famous. He made himself of no reputation. You see, famous is all about me. Famous means everyone knows who I am. Everyone thinks highly of me. I am popular and receive all kinds of praise and honors. People applaud when I enter the room. I am the center of attention. I am noticed and recognized everywhere I go. Well, not me, but you know what I mean. Famous is all about me. We live in a culture where so many people desire fame. You know, we talk about 15 minutes of fame. Fame is a great desire of so many people. Here's the reason why. It comes from ancient Greece. In ancient Greek mythology, there was a character named Narcissus. Ever hear of Narcissus? He was supposedly the son of the river god. He was distinguished for his beauty and was promised long life as long as he did not recognize himself in his own reflection. But one day, he was looking into a pool of water and saw himself. And immediately fell so deeply in love with himself that he pined away into oblivion. From the name Narcissus, we get the term narcissism. Sometimes we hear politicians or celebrities being referred to as a narcissist. What is that? Narcissism is basically the emotional disorder in which one is so much in love with himself that his self-love governs everything he does. A narcissist pursues fame and power in a totally self-serving manner. People who crave fame are people who are in love with themselves and they want everyone else to love them just as much as they love themselves. But Jesus made it very clear that he did not come to this earth to be famous. You know the verse in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. When I read it, you'll recognize it. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't come to have people opening doors for him. He came to open the door for others. Jesus repeatedly told people not to broadcast who he was or what he had done. Do you remember that? Go to Mark chapter 7 and verse 36. Mark chapter 7 and verse 36. Now he's healed a man that could not speak or heal. He or hear. Couldn't speak or heal. Couldn't speak or hear. He healed the man so that he could do both. And in verse 36, he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. Why did he tell them not to tell anybody? Mark chapter 8, verse 30. Mark chapter 8 and verse 30. He is asking his disciples in verse 27, whom do men say that I am? Verse 28, they answer John the Baptist, but some say Elias and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Mark chapter 9 and verse 9. After the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John see him in all his Shekinah glory. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. Over and over again, there were other times when he performed miracles and he told people, don't tell anybody. One man, he said, don't tell anybody, just go to the temple and offer the sacrifices that you're supposed to for being made clean. Why does he tell people not to tell anyone? Because he made himself of no reputation. It wasn't about building a reputation. It wasn't about being famous. It was about serving the needs of the people. He was here to serve. He was a servant to God the Father. He was a servant to the Holy Spirit. And he served us. That's what it was all about. So, we must acknowledge the role of the Holy Spirit in our service to God and to others. And I think this will help put things into proper perspective for us if we get this. One big thing that we must all understand about being a Christian and doing Christian things is that none of it is about making us famous. John the Baptist said it so well in John chapter 3 and verse 30. You know it. He must increase, I must decrease. Albert Barnes paraphrased what John the Baptist said here in a very lengthy paraphrase. He put it this way, as if John the Baptist were saying this: the purpose of my ministry is to point men to him. When that is done, my work is done. I came not to form a party of my own, nor to set up a religion of my own, and my teaching must cease when he is fully established. As the light of the morning star fades away and is lost in the beams of the rising sun. I thought about that. You know, do you see the stars in the daytime? No, because the sun's so bright, you can't see them. When the sun's not shining in the sky, goes down at nighttime, then you see the stars. This is our duty, to make sure that the light of Jesus Christ is shined so brightly, nobody notices us. Just like the sun in the sky in the daytime, where you cannot see the stars. Now, acknowledging God is a very important exercise in a believer's life. You know the verses in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. What's the next part? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Well, acknowledging the Holy Spirit in our lives is part of that process. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. That is one of the primary exercises of the Christian life. You know, there are primary colors. There are three of them, right? Red, yellow, what's the other one? Blue? Red, yellow, and blue. Three primary colors. All the other colors, green and brown and orange, come from, and purple, they all come from a mixture of those primary colors. You start with the primary colors. If you don't have the primary colors, nothing, you're not going to get any other colors, right? Walking in the Spirit is one of the primary exercises in the Christian life. If you don't do this, there's a lot of other things that aren't going to happen. For example, in this same chapter, in verse 16, he says, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If you want to live a sanctified life, you have to walk in the Spirit. It's just the way it is. We'll go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Instead of saying walk in the Spirit, it says walk after the Spirit. I think there's a reason he uses the word after instead of in here in this context. He says in verse 1, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit, but after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 4, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Jesus told us over in John chapter 16, hold your place here and look in John chapter 16 and verse 13. We'll come right back to Romans chapter 8, but John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13, he says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." He will guide you into all truth. It's a crucial statement. One of the primary functions of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to guide us into all truth. So we go back to Romans chapter 8. And in verse 5, we find that this matter of walking after the Spirit, now here's the thing, if he's guiding us, what are we supposed to be doing? Coming after him. He's leading, we're following. He's guiding, we're coming after. Walk after the Spirit as he is guiding us. And we find in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 that this is actually a mental exercise. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, by implication, do mind the things of the Spirit." If the Spirit is guiding us, and the purpose of guiding is to guide us into all truth, and we are to walk after the Spirit, and we do that by minding the things of the Spirit, it tells us that this whole matter of walking in the Spirit is a mental exercise. It's a mental exercise as he guides us through the truth of the Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16 goes through an explanation of how God has given us the Holy Spirit so that he might teach us things by comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. We must acknowledge the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, as guiding us through the pages of the scriptures so that what God said on these pages is translated into actual living day by day. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, consider Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. What did the Holy Spirit do with Jesus when Jesus was here on this earth? He led Jesus. What is the Holy Spirit doing with us while we're here on this earth? He is leading us. It's the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. First Peter, chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. How do we truly obey the truth? We do it through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as He leads us. And we follow Him. We acknowledge the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We acknowledge that we will have no understanding of the Word of God or be able to apply it in our lives properly unless we are conscious of the fact that it is the Holy Spirit that is leading us through this exercise. The Holy Spirit is not our servant. We are the servant of the Holy Spirit. He leads, we follow. He instructs, we obey. You hire a cleaning lady to come into your house and clean your house. So she comes into the house, and this is the home of Mr. and Mrs., okay? And the cleaning lady comes into the home of Mr. and Mrs. And the cleaning lady comes in and picks up the vacuum cleaner and hands it to Mrs. and says, go vacuum the rugs. And the cleaning lady picks up the mop and hands it to Mr. and says, go mop the kitchen floor. Is that how it works? When that is done, she tells Mrs. to wash the windows, and she tells Mr. to gather all the trash. No, that's not how it works. Mr. and Mrs. do not serve the cleaning lady. The cleaning lady serves Mr. and Mrs. We're the cleaning lady. The Holy Spirit is the master of the house. He is not our servant. We are His servant. And so Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God. He's the master. I'm the servant. Jesus set an example that we should follow in His steps. It says that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. This particular example was one of suffering, of making necessary sacrifices to accomplish God's purposes in our lives and helping those who cannot help themselves. Jesus also set an example of serving others. Remember when he washed the disciples' feet? In John chapter 13 and verse 15, in that context, he says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." The example that Jesus set was all about sacrifice and service. The example that Jesus set was all about selflessness. The example that Jesus set was all about being very human and yet being used by the Holy Spirit to do extraordinary things. It is because of the Holy Spirit in us that we can love God and love our neighbors as ourselves, have joy no matter what is happening in our lives, have the peace that passes understanding, be long-suffering for as long as it takes, be gentle in our speech and in our relationships, do good things, have faith in extreme situations, be meek in the midst of stressful situations, and exercise restraint in the face of temptations. You recognize those? Those are the fruit of the Spirit. It is because of the Holy Spirit in us that we can preach and teach and witness and be wise and have discernment and serve others in their time of need, exhort, give, help, lead, show mercy, or do anything that brings glory to God. As Jesus cast out the devils and did all his miraculous works by the Holy Spirit, anything we do for God and for others, we should recognize we do it by the Holy Spirit as the servant of Christ for his glory and not our own. I am a normal human being, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, extraordinary things can happen in my life. As I yield myself as an instrument of righteousness in the hand of the Holy Spirit, I can be just a plain old human being, but used by God to bring glory to his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Help us to understand that none of this is about ourselves. None of this is about our becoming famous. All of it is about just being a servant, serving you, serving your Spirit within us, serving others for your glory. May we have the mind of Christ in us and desire no reputation for ourselves, but shine the light on your reputation that everyone may see it. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.